Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 has come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He engages in a discussion with his disciples, asking them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" These disciples offered various opinions as to what the people thought about Jesus and whom they believed him to be. Some say, "Thou art John the Baptist." Some, "Elias." Some say, "You are Jeremiah." Others say, "You are one of the prophets." Jesus was none of these. He was not John. He was not Elias. He was not Jeremiah. He was not one of the other prophets. Jesus was the prophet. Jesus was the Messiah. His question to the disciples was, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you say Jesus is? Whom do you believe Jesus to be? Peter answered boldly and emphatically, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said to him in Matthew chapter 16 at verses 18 and 19, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus tells Peter and the disciples, "I will build my church." As we examine this promise of Christ, I want us to notice the foundation of the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock." For the foundation to be solid, it must be founded upon a rock. The church was to be founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ." Upon this rock, upon this divine truth, upon this belief of the human heart, the church of Jesus Christ is established. At Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, where the Apostle Paul gives an extensive discussion to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Jesus Christ is the stone of the church. Upon Jesus Christ, the church has been established. Upon the divine truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah whom God sent into the world, is the church established. The foundation of the church is so sure and so steadfast that Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it." There is no force, there is no power, there is no authority, there is no dominion that can stand opposed to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' kingdom is established upon the sure foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. "Thou art the Christ," was Peter's confession of him in Luke chapter 9. And Paul, when he writes to the church at Ephesus, to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, chapter 1, verse 1, he declares that they have been established upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the preaching of those who had come following Christ to declare his marvelous gospel. They preached his death, his burial, his resurrection. Jesus had overcome the tomb. He had conquered death. And by that conquest, the church had been established. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. When the Apostle Peter was in the city of Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, he said concerning Jesus, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." They had set Jesus at naught. They had not accepted his divinity. They had not accepted his person, that he was the Christ. They had rejected him. They had crucified him. Now Peter declares, Jesus is the stone upon which the church is established. The Apostle Peter would later write an epistle to those whom he identified as the elect in chapter 1 and verse 1. He further says that these individuals to whom he has written this epistle were strangers who were scattered throughout the earth. The church is strangers. We live in a world that is strange to us. We are simply traveling through this old world. We're not going to abide here very long. We are pilgrims on a journey. The church is a city that is looking for the heavenly abode. The church is a community of the saved who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, established upon his death, burial, and resurrection from the tomb. Peter writes to the elect, to the strangers who are scattered abroad, and says in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Peter goes back to the Old Testament scripture. He goes back to that grand prophet Isaiah, who had predicted, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. As Peter quotes this Old Testament prophecy concerning the laying of the cornerstone, the one who is considered by God to be the elect, the chosen one, the appointed one, Peter said that he was approved of God in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. He is precious. Jesus is precious because he has chosen to come into the world and offer himself as a sacrifice for humanity. Jesus is precious because he is the shepherd that gently leads his flock. Jesus is the shepherd because he provides spiritual nourishment. Jesus is precious because he died so that the human soul could be redeemed from sin. Jesus is precious because he has gone into heaven and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he reigns and rules over his kingdom, the church. Jesus is the precious cornerstone. To those who be obedient, he is precious. To those who be disobedient, they stumble. He is a stone of stumbling. He is a rock of offense to those who are disobedient to his word. Jesus Christ is the stone upon which the church is established. At 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, upon this rock. And then the building of the church. Jesus said, I will build. He speaks with certainty. He is so certain that the church will be established. He is so assured and so fully persuaded that the church will be established that he declares the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. The tomb, the grave, would not be able to destroy the promise that Jesus had made. Jesus would be taken to the cross and he would be crucified. He would be buried. But on the third day, as he had said in John chapter 2, he would restore the temple. He would rebuild the temple of his body. He would come forth from the grave, and with that conquest, I will build. Jesus is the builder of the church. At Ephesians 2 and verse 13, and in this marvelous Ephesian epistle, Paul is writing concerning the establishment, the building of the church, the coming of the kingdom of God upon the earth. And those who choose to obey Christ, those who choose to respond obediently to his gospel and are baptized into him, whereby they put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26, 27, Romans 6, 3 through 5, Colossians 2, 11 through 13, 1 Peter 3, verse 21, Acts 2, verse 38. Then they become the church, the kingdom of God. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are made nigh unto God. We are able to draw near unto God. We are able to become the children of God, the sons of God, the daughters of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. With the blood, the church was built. The death of Jesus was the building block of the kingdom of heaven. At Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of elders of the church, the overseers of the church, the shepherds of the church. And he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Every individual must take heed unto himself. You and I must take heed to ourselves. While we must consider others, and while we must seek to edify and build up others, and while we must seek to gather the lost into the kingdom of God, we must take heed to ourselves and to all the flock. As the shepherds, the bishops, the overseers, the elders of the church, they were to take heed to themselves, but they were to take heed to the flock. They were to look after the church. They were to watch for the souls of the church. Elders have the responsibility of seeking the goodwill of the kingdom of God and watching carefully over the sheep under which they have been given charge, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Feed the church of God. Nourish the church of God. Proclaim the gospel to the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What has Jesus purchased with his blood? The church of God. The church of Christ. Jesus built the church with his blood. He came to build. He came to establish. He came to fulfill the ancient promise that God had made concerning the church. At Ephesians 5 and verse 25, the husbands, love your wives. Paul uses this beautiful relationship of marriage to show the union of Christ and his church. In marriage, a husband takes a wife. That husband treats that wife with respect and love. He nourishes her. He takes care of her. He guards her. He protects her. He supplies her with need. And so Jesus does this for the church. This beautiful relationship, this union of man and woman, is used to show the union of Christ in his church and the relationship that Christ has to his church. Do not dare believe that the church is not important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus gave himself for the church. So precious is the church to the Lord Jesus Christ that he died the death of Calvary, the agonizing horror of crucifixion, so that the church could come into existence and so that he could build the church. What Jesus has built cannot be overthrown. What Jesus has built must not be undermined. What Jesus has built must be precious to the human heart and to the human soul. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter discusses Christ giving himself, the reason that he gave himself, the manner in which he gave himself. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. In the death of Christ he suffered. I have never known any type of suffering that could compare to the suffering that Jesus experienced on the cross. And the scripture says that the just died for the unjust. The just suffered for the unjust. Jesus was just. He was without sin, unstained by this spiritual malady of transgression and disobedience to God. But he died for those who were, gave himself for those who stubbornly refused to be obedient to God. that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Upon this rock I will build my church, the singleness of the church. Jesus has not built a multitude of churches. He has not built churches that identify themselves by different names and follow different beliefs. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. Jesus has built but one church. When you look at Scripture, when you study the Scripture, you see that there is only one church that is recognized by God as being the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church. At Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body, not many bodies, not various bodies, not a multitude of bodies, but one body. And the body is the church. At Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Jesus Christ is the head of his body, the church. The church is identified in Scripture as the body of Christ, and only one is recognized and known by God. Study the Bible. Look at the Scriptures. See the church that Jesus has built. See the church in all of its glory. The church which Jesus built is one. Paul wrote to the Romans, chapter 12 and verse 4, for as we have many members in one body. And we understand from 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. The Bible uses the analogy of the human body to identify the church. You and I have but one body. One head governs this one body. One head controls this one body. But within this one body that you and I have, there are various members. We have eyes that see, ears that hear, hands and feet that function and allow us the ability to move and control. And so the church has various members, baptized believers, obedient souls that have been added to the church by God, Acts 2 and verse 47. You cannot join the church of your choice because God does not allow you a choice. You cannot join a church because there are no churches to join. You are added to the church in obedience to the gospel of Christ. When Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he spoke to them about the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, and the seating of Christ upon the throne of God. When they heard that, they were pricked in their heart, verse 37. They were convicted that they had killed and crucified the Son of God. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Not all churches believe that. Not all churches teach that. There are a multitude of churches today that do not preach the divine message of Jesus Christ. And yet here Peter says, when you do this, and we find that they did in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and verse 47 says they were added to the church. Which church? Did they join a church? No. They were added to the church. Which church? The church which Jesus said, I will build. This day the church was built because the stone was preached. And upon the stone, souls believed and confessed and were baptized. And the church of Jesus Christ was established that day in Jerusalem when Peter preached that gospel message following the ascension of Jesus into the heavens and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. There are many members, but there is one body. There is one church. God Almighty has, through Jesus Christ, brought into existence one church, one kingdom. And those who would be obedient to God will become members of that one body. In John chapter 17, Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane there to pray unto his heavenly Father. At verses 20 and 21, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone," meaning his disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." The apostles would be sent to preach the word. People would believe that word. Today we preach that word that Jesus gave. And you must believe this word. Those who believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Everyone who believes are to be one. When you look at religion today, do you see a oneness? Do you see a singleness? Or do you see various and many and different? That they all may be one. All who believe on me through their word may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Upon this rock I will build my church. There is a relationship between Christ and the church. My church. My people. My sheep. In Ephesians 5 and verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Here we see a relationship between Christ and the church. Sometimes an individual will say, "Well, the church is not all that important. I don't believe I have to be a member of the church to be saved. I don't believe I have to be a part of a church to go to heaven. I don't even believe in the church. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the church." Those people need to read the scripture. This is a great mystery. This is a great revelation. The word mystery means a revelation. Paul in the book of Ephesians is speaking of God's revelation to man. In Ephesians chapter 3, he said that that revelation came to him, that mystery was revealed unto him by God's Spirit. What had been hidden in ages past has now been made known. And God has made known unto man the relationship between Christ and his church. At Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, "God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The church is the body of Christ. The members of Christ are the church. The sons and daughters of Christ are the church. The sheep of Jesus Christ is the church. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The church is pictured as a bride. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul uses the relationship of marriage to describe the union, the relationship of Christ and his church. He speaks of the husband and the wife and Christ and the church. And here John sees the church descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Paul saw the church in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2 as a chaste virgin that had been presented unto Christ. There is a relationship between Jesus and the church. Jesus and the church are united. As the church, we are in Christ. And then he speaks of the entrance into the church. How do you get into the church? How do you become a part of the church? I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We enter by the use of a key. There are keys presented in the pages of Scripture as to how one becomes the church. At Acts 2 and verse 42, the Scripture says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." The apostles had been sent to preach the doctrine of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. At Romans 1 and verse 12, Paul mentions the mutual faith. At Romans 8 and verse 2, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. This is the key to the kingdom, the doctrine, the mutual faith. The mutual faith is a faith shared by all. In Titus 1 and verse 4, he mentions a common faith. Just as Jude in chapter 1, verse 3 mentions a common salvation. Every individual in the church enters into the church in the very same manner. Jesus gave to the apostles the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The doctrine, the faith that they preached, the common faith, the common salvation. Ephesians 4, 5, one faith. We've got so many doctrines in the world today and so many beliefs that it's absolutely confusing and bewildering. When all you need is the Bible, I don't need a man to tell me what to do to be saved. I don't need a creed book or a manual or a discipline or a catechism. I don't need something handed down by a group of individuals who have gotten together and decided to agree on a certain idea or philosophy. I have the Bible. I have the doctrine of Christ. I have the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been given by inspiration to the apostles and has been preserved through the centuries of time so that I can buy a copy of the Bible and I can read it and come to an understanding and a knowledge of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. At James 1, verse 25, James speaks of the perfect law of liberty, which meaning that it is complete. It is absolute. Peter said to those to whom he had written, the elect, in 2 Peter, that he had given chapter 1, verse 2 or 3, given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You don't need any other thing other than the Bible, the Word of God, the Scripture. It is complete. It is infallible. It is indestructible. No enemy can overcome it. No one can destroy it. Copies have been cast into the fire, and yet the Bible lives. Preachers such as Stephen have been stoned and crucified, but the Bible lives. The Word of God is the keys of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, Paul said he preached the gospel and the cross of Christ. Jesus has come to Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. And there this profound promise is made that has reshapen the destinies of humanity. Jesus spoke a word, gave a promise to his disciples. When Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so it is. I urge you to consider the church which Jesus has established. and establish within your own heart and life a relationship with Jesus Christ by becoming a member of this divine body. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.